Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our gospel lesson, as I mentioned before. And in our text, dear fellow redeemed, the Holy Spirit has chosen to use Luke's words to juxtapose. There's a 15-cent word for you to collect. To put side by side for comparison two important aspects of our lives as Christians. Now, last week in the story of Mary and Martha, Jesus underscores the crucial importance of hearing his word. It's the one thing needful in that whole circumstance, he tells them. And then rather than sticking to exactly what comes next, Luke goes straight from that account to Christ's teaching on prayer. One day, he says, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." The disciples were so right in recognizing that prayer is something we need to be taught. Moms and dads, plead with you, make sure you take time with your children, teaching them to pray. Prayer, as we're taught it in Scripture, it is not just a natural thing, but it does need to be taught. Make sure that at the dinner table, they get a chance to pray. Make sure at bedtime, they get a chance to pray. Before that, make sure you give them an example of prayer. An example, of course, that is drawn from God's word itself. Without listening to what Jesus says here, we so easily neglect our prayer, or we're just uncomfortable in prayer. Or we miss out on the blessings that God wants to give us through prayer, as we just sang about. You know, what peace we often forfeit because we neglect our prayers. And also, without Jesus' direction, we quite easily fall for all kinds of false ideas that stand in the way of true prayer. Prayer isn't our own invention, after all. It isn't what we decide it to be. It's a gift and a privilege from our Savior. And therefore, we should pray as Jesus teaches us to pray. In the first part of our text, Jesus tells us what we should ask for. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father.'" Now, in many texts, it appears as "our Father." But whether it has the "our" or "there" or not doesn't make any difference, because it's all plural. We're praying not just as me, although I certainly do pray for myself, but we as Christians are to pray also for one another. So, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Now, when you learn the Lord's Prayer, and as we recite it in church, there are a couple of extra petitions. They're included in Mark. But if you look carefully, you see that those petitions easily could fit under these that are included here in Luke. First, notice what Jesus does not include, and it may be a little surprising. He doesn't teach us to ask for special knowledge in our prayers. Knowledge of the future, revelations from God, or even faith. And can you think why? Think back to last week. It's no accident that this comes right after the Mary and Martha account. You see, prayer is not a means of grace as such. It's not the way that God has chosen to give us faith and to give us spiritual life. Prayer is not God speaking to us. It's our speaking to Him. And by contrast, he says faith comes from what He says to us, as opposed to what we say to Him. Faith comes from hearing the message, he says in Romans 10. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. And this is why Jesus emphasizes also the importance of hearing and reading and studying his holy word, as we learned last week. And it's important to understand this and to make the real distinction between Christian prayer and the prayer of the heathen. The heathen, the pagans, even now, view prayer as an experience in which the gods somehow speak to them. In fact, part of the whole process where they'll go without sleep and they'll go without food and they'll go off to be all alone and maybe even throw in drugs for good measure. And then they have some experience that they account as receiving the words or the experience of some god. And sadly, Christians sometimes fall into this too. We hear the likes of Pat Robertson or Earl Roberts or whoever saying that they receive words from God through their prayer or through their meditation. Where is that petition here in our Lord's Prayer? It's not there. Don't expect God to speak to you in your prayers. And those who presume to do so or pretend to do so fall under God's judgment. Yes, declares the Lord in Jeremiah 23, I'm against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord says. So what does Jesus teach us to pray for? He teaches us to pray for the things that he graciously offers and promises and gives to us freely. As an explanation, you can't do better than Luther's. It's in your hymnary at page 33. It's in the small catechism, and I encourage people to look at it. There's another kind of paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer that's included in your bulletin today. But for the sake of time, right now we'll summarize. First of all, he invites us to come to him as dear children come to their dear father. And so we pray, Father, or our Father. And he teaches us to pray that his name be hallowed. And what does that mean? But that, well, yeah, God's name is holy. We don't need to ask that it become holy in some way. But holy among us, God's name is hallowed when his word is taught in its truth and purity, when we live according to it. Can you imagine what a different community this would be, or state, or nation, if God's word were taught everywhere in its truth and purity and people took it seriously and lived according to it? He teaches us to pray that one and all would become part of his kingdom. And this certainly is something that he accomplishes again through his word, that we become part of his kingdom through faith in Christ. He teaches us to pray for the necessities of life, and not just for ourselves, but for our daily bread. It's interesting that he includes that word daily. You know, how about you? I'd like to have everything in the bank that I need for the rest of my life. Wouldn't that work out nicely? That way, we wouldn't have to depend on God at all. Now, God knows that we need to depend on him day by day for our daily bread. Our future is, after all, in his hands. And he also teaches us to ask daily for forgiveness as we daily come to him in repentance. And at the same time, we earnestly and truly forgive those who have sinned against us. Because how can I believe that the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses me from all sin if I don't believe that it's cleansed you as well? Or cleansed my enemy, or the person that I may be angry with, or the friend or family member with whom I've had a tiff, even if they've treated me badly. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. And finally, he teaches us to ask that we be spared the trial of our souls, that we be not delivered to the evil one, but that we be delivered from the evil one and from all evil. I encourage people to say the Lord's Prayer in their own words frequently. Think about it, because that will help us then in all of our prayers, that we consider how it is that Jesus, our Savior, has taught us to pray. And he's also taught us, as we see here in our text, he's taught us to pray boldly, even using the word impudently here in one translation. In other words, don't be shy. You can't offend him by bringing to him the burdens of your heart, any burden of your soul. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I've nothing to set before him. So you can imagine my giving you a call. Hi, it's Pastor Brian. Deborah and I just found out the kids are coming to town. We don't have anything in the refrigerator. What do you got? Now, are you going to say, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. What in the world are you thinking of? Or will you, just because I've had the gall, say, all right, I think I have some lunch meat. Good luck. So, as he says, the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yeah, and that's especially true. You know, come on, Ed. Are you out of your mind? The more you know me, probably the less you're inclined to say, come on, you know better than that. The less you're inclined to pitch in. But it says, I tell you, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. How we pray, whether it's boldly or timidly, depends upon what we think of the one whom we approach in prayer. What do you suppose is his attitude toward you? You think he's stingy? You think he's mean? You think he's a skinflint? You doubt that you have his approval, his love, his mercy? Well, then, you know, it's pretty hard to ask anything of him. But when you realize that, yes, he loves you, that he has covered you with the righteousness of Christ, you are his, you are the apple of his eye, that he approves of you, that he welcomes you before his throne of grace, that he loves to answer prayer, well then, let's bring some big petitions. And so it is, you know, we can be sitting in the hospital and the doctor may have had his little speech. It's not going to be long now. Or it spread and I don't know what we can do. Or, you know, it's maybe 5% chance of survival. He may have had, you know, as we used to say, hung crepe all around the room. Well, guess what? We still pray, Lord, if it's your will, grant pure and perfect healing. Because God is eager to answer prayer. So Jesus wants you to know that our God and Savior is not like a grudging friend. One big difference between God and our friends, for the most part, we haven't alienated our friends, right? They stay friends because we've treated them fairly nicely. Would you, for example, do you think that if you mistreated your friend's kids, that they'd be a friend very long? I know if you really hurt my kids, you wouldn't be on my Christmas card list for long. I might forgive you, but man, it'd be really hard to look you in the face. Think what we have done to God's children. Every person in the pew next to you, in front of you, behind you, every person you rub shoulders with every day is someone whom God loved so much that he gave his one and only son. How have you treated them? Whom have you hurt? We've been critical, we've been resentful, we've casually trashed reputations, we've lied, we've broken promises. You know, you've got your own list, just consult your own heart. But our Savior has nevertheless forgiven all of our sins toward his children. Even though the sinlessness he gives you and the sinfulness that he took to the cross cost him his life, his death on the cross. You see who we pray to? One who loves us. Unconditional love. Unmerited love. True grace. And so that's why we can boldly go before the throne of grace. There's nothing that stands between us and him anymore. There's now no condemnation upon those who are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that we've done that makes it impossible for him to hear our prayers. And so we should go confident that we will receive what is best for us. Which of you fathers, he says, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The fact is, you will receive the very best gift that he can give to you in this sinful world. And notice, he doesn't promise to give you everything that you asked for. I don't know if you've ever kept track of the things that you've asked for. I would have to say, thank God he has not given me everything that I have asked for. He's much wiser than I. Ever so much more prudent to pray, your will be done. There are some things for sure he will give to you. As he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Through his word, through his sacraments, we know we will receive forgiveness of sin. That we will find him here. And he is here for us. So that we can be sure of. Now, other things may be a little different. I would think of my two sons, Ethan and Keith, when they were 3 and 2, respectfully. They had this thing about knives. And they wanted a knife. And they didn't want a dull knife. They wanted a sharp knife. They wanted a knife like Dad had, one that was like a razor, I think it was the way Keith put it when he was 2. And I'm not sure he pronounced it correctly. I think that was a good idea. I mean, they asked, and I love them, right? And of course, you'll know that we didn't give them a sharp knife. We did give them a wooden one, which they later on did tell me they thought was a much better gift. And last I heard, they still had those wooden knives. They were still kind of cool. And I think the grandkids have even gotten a hold of them. So it is that Paul also prayed that God would relieve him from some physical illness. a thorn in the flesh, he says. But it wasn't what was best for Paul. And so Jesus answered him, no. And reminded him that he had been given the grace of God. And the fact is that of all the things that we could ever receive in heaven and earth, the grace of God is the only one that's really enough and is the open door to all that we need. So we pray confidently as God's people, as Christians, and we receive God's answer, or maybe a yes, maybe a no, maybe a wait, maybe something better. But we await the answer in faith that it is a blessed and blessed answer. Think also of the disciples. Do you think that when Jesus was being taken away, that they prayed that he would be delivered from the hands of the Romans? Maybe they did. You think that was what was best? Clearly it was not. Only by faith could they have accepted the answer to that prayer as something that is good. Only by faith could they have looked at Jesus' lifeless corpse and realized that there is the Lamb of God who had taken away the sins of the world. Only by faith would they trust that he, being placed in the closed tomb, would rise again. It's in that way that we pray, trusting that God will hear our prayers and answer them in the way that is truly blessed. So let us pray then as Jesus teaches us to pray. And underscoring it, let's pray. Let's take the time in our day to pray. And pray boldly. And pray confident of his unfailing love. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.